From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Today we go to UN headquarters in New York for a pair of press conferences. First, with the spokesperson for the UN Secretary General, Stefan Dujarric, and then the spokesperson for the President of the General Assembly, Brendan Varma.
Great. Okay. Let's go to our regular programming. I want to start with an update for you on Nigeria, where our humanitarian colleagues, on the situation in Dikwa in Borno State. Humanitarians are concerned about the situation of thousands of internally displaced people and civilians in the area following the recent attacks we briefed you on yesterday. Following intense attack in Marte and surrounding areas since February 14th, nearly 3,400 displaced people, including more than 2,000 children, arrived in Dikwa. It's estimated there are more than 76,000 internally displaced people in town of Dikwa due to the ongoing conflict since 2009. As of now, and following ongoing military operations on the ground, we, along with our partners, are unable to assess further the humanitarian situation. We reiterate our calls on all armed parties to immediately stop the violence and ensure the protection of civilians and civilian infrastructure, humanitarian assets, as well as personnel. Back here in the Security Council, David Shearer addressed the Council for the last time as head of the peacekeeping mission in South Sudan. He noted the first anniversary of the transitional government, adding that despite some positive steps, progress has been slow. There's been minimal progress on constitution-making, transitional justice, and economic reform, he said. Mr. Shearer also pointed out that the unification of forces has yet to happen, despite multiple self-imposed government deadlines as a result of thousands of troops festering in cantonment sites without adequate shelter, health care, or food. Ending on a personal note, he told council members that at the end of 4 years in South Sudan, he looks back with a certain level of comfort on how far the country has come. There is a ceasefire, he said, a peace deal, a transitional government, a presidency, a council of ministers, governors, and local leadership is slowly being installed. However, the reality is that the peace process remains extremely fragile. It is for those people that we, the international community, must remain united and committed to pushing the peace process forward, he said. His remarks have been shared with you. And the Deputy Secretary General took part yesterday in the first annual meeting of the group of UN entities called the Regional Collaborative Platform. She said that Africa's regional know-how, assets, and policy expertise will be more systematically channeled to the resident coordinators and UN country team across the continent as they help countries ensure inclusive and sustainable transition out of the COVID-19 crisis. The Regional Collaborative Platform brings together all UN entities working on development for the 2030 agenda, addressing key challenges that transcend country borders, such as health and environment. It is chaired by Amina Mohammed. UNICEF, as you may have seen today, released a report showing that schools for more than 168 million children globally have been completely closed for an entire year due to the lockdowns. According to UNICEF, around 214 million children, or one in seven, have missed more than three quarters of their in-person learning. UNICEF warns that the most vulnerable children and those unable to access remote learning are at an increased risk of never returning to the classrooms and even being forced into child marriage or child labor. The full report is online. Some good news from our UN teams on the African continent, who've helped ensure that today's arrival of millions of doses of COVID-19 vaccines through the COVAX facility. The vaccines have now arrived in Angola, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Gambia, Kenya, Rwanda, and Senegal. More than a million doses arrived in Kenya today, transported by UNICEF. The vaccine rollout kicks off on Friday. Rwanda received 340,000 doses today, with UN resident coordinator Fode Njai hailing this historic moment as a big boost for hope and recovery. Senegal, 320,000 doses today. That will help authorities' efforts to vaccinate 20% of the population. The DRC received more than 1.7 million of vaccines with the UN team's support. And in the Gambia, the first shipment of 36,000 doses of COVAX-backed vaccines arrived last night with the support of the UN team. Government is preparing to kickstart the vaccination with healthcare workers and those underlying conditions in age 65 and above. Also yesterday, 620,000 doses arrived in Angola with the UN support. We will help cover initial 10% of the country's first phase of vaccine needs. The vaccination efforts began yesterday with a 71-year-old lady receiving the first shot. Monday is International Women's Day. The theme this year is Women in Leadership, Achieving an Equal Future in a COVID-19 World on the Way to the Generation Equality Forum. In his message for the day, the Secretary General said the pandemic has erased decades of progress towards gender equality. He stresses that as we recover from the pandemic, support and stimulus packages must target women and girls specifically, including through investments in women-owned businesses and care economy. He adds that a pandemic recovery is our chance to leave behind generations of exclusion and inequalities. UN Women will be hosting a virtual event that day at 10 a.m., and the Secretary General will take part. A lot more information on UN Women's website. Today is World Wildlife Day. This year's theme is Forest and Livelihood, Sustaining People and Planet. The planet's forests are home to some 80% of all terrestrial wild species. Forests help regulate the climate and support of livelihoods of hundreds of millions of people. In his message, the Secretary General said the unsustainable exploitation of forests harms communities and contributes to biodiversity loss and climate disruption. He urges governments, businesses, and people everywhere to scale up efforts to conserve forests and forest species, to support and to listen to the voices of forest communities. In doing so, we will help and contribute to achieving the SDGs for planet and people. Today is also a very important day, though it's not an international day. It is James Bayes' birthday, I'm told. But we're working on a GA resolution at that. I won't say how old you are, James. But I will just say I don't think you qualify for the vaccine in New York yet, though, age-wise, that is. Our colleagues at the Department of Global Communications are organizing a series of events throughout the month ahead of the International Day of Remembrance of the Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade. The day will be marked on March 25th. Tomorrow, there'll be an online discussion titled Return to the Root, Exploring Racism Through Dance. The event is organized with Lehigh University and will explore the themes of systematic racism, the legacy of slavery throughout the African diaspora populations, and how we can participate in the conversation globally through multiple art forms. More information and links are available at un.org. Tomorrow, our guest will be the Acting Assistant Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Deputy Emergency Relief Coordinator, Ramesh Rajasingham, who will join us to discuss his recent visit to Burkina Faso. And I have an update on a question you've been asking me quite a bit about, which is Libya. I can confirm that the UN deployed a small advance team to Libya. The team arrived overnight. The advance team will help advance UN planning in close consultation with the 5+5 Joint Military Commission and provide the foundation for scalable UN support to the Libyan-led and Libyan-owned ceasefire monitoring mechanism. The team will also prepare inputs for the reports that was requested of the Secretary General by the Security Council. The advance team will report its findings to the Special Envoy through the UN's mission coordinator. Meanwhile, over the course of the past few days, Special Envoy for Libya, Jan Kubisch, has continued his efforts to mobilize regional and international support to the Libyan-owned, Libyan-led dialogue process. The Special Envoy paid visits to Italy and Turkey and met, among others, with the foreign ministers of those two countries. We are delighted to report that we are up to 65 member states fully paid up. Our thanks go to Algeria and the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. James, it's your birthday. No one will deny you a question today.
I don't have to ask about Libya because you just talked about it. So, Myanmar. As you'll be aware now, the deputy ambassador mm-hmm. has on Facebook posted that he's resigned his post. This is the deputy PR who was named by the military in their communications with the UN as chargé. Have you had any communication from either the military or from the mission that he is now no longer the chargé because he's... from their view...
No, exactly. All that we've seen is what we've seen on Facebook and reported in the media. So we're aware that Yu Tin Maung Nang, the DPR, resigned, but no official communication. The process that I alluded to yesterday has moved a little bit. So following the receipt in the past few days from Kyo Moon-Toon, the permanent representative of Myanmar to the UN, and then the other letter I alluded to from the foreign ministry, they have been shared, referred to the chair of the credentials committee, the permanent representative of Tanzania. Upon request of the chair, those communications have now also been circulated to all the members of the credentials committee.
And one, I know it's my birthday, but I'm still going to complain about something.
they wouldn't be your birthday if you weren't complaining about something.
Important story from UNICEF and an important exhibit in the garden. I can't understand why, and the Secretary General even visited, why the press were not invited. I understand COVID, but it was in the garden. If you wanted the power of that, why you would not invite us to cover it. I'm not the only one. I know Toby had a crew wanted to go and cover it as well. It's barking mad.
The bark has been received. ED, and then we'll...
another follow-up on Myanmar. We heard what Special Envoy Schwana Bergener is doing. What has the Secretary General himself been doing on Myanmar? Has he tried to talk to any of the generals? Has he been talking to leaders in the region?
Yes, so he has been spending, over the last week or so, spending quite a bit of time on the phone, speaking to members of, focusing on members of ASEAN, including the current presidency of ASEAN, which is Brunei. And he has spoken also since the coup to permanent representatives and foreign ministers from member states who've shown interest in this, and obviously members of the Security Council. So his focus has really been on trying to unite the international community to speak with one voice on this issue and to overturn, obviously, the actions by the military and restore democracy.
And a follow-up mm-hmm. on the advance team in Libya. Do you know if they're planning to travel? Because in the Secretary General's announcement, I believe that he thought that they should be based in Sirte. Are they planning to travel from Tripoli, and how long are they planning to stay?
Two challenges in terms of the amount of information we can share. First and foremost is the security of this team. They will go where they need to go, given the security and COVID constraints. I think right now they've just landed. They will do whatever they need to do to present a strong and clear assessment to the mission leadership, and then on to the Secretary General. Yes, go ahead, and then Sylvia.
I have two questions on Iraq. The first one, last night, the 10 rockets slammed a military base that's housing U.S. forces. A contractor passed away. any reaction to this attack just less than a week after the U.S. Rocket attacks in Syria, and it comes 2 days before Pope Francis visits
Iraq? Of course. Obviously, Secretary General is following the developments in Iraq, including the rocket attack, very slowly. He remains very concerned about the volatile situation in that region. And I think it's important for all sides to exercise restraint, avoid any escalation, which would undermine the ongoing diplomatic efforts at finding peace and lowering the tensions in that region. And we, of course, all very much hope for a successful and safe visit of the pontiff to Iraq.
And again, on Iraq, you know, about the sides lowering tension, one side is we don't hear the name of is Iran, and today the Kurdistan Regional Government published confession of people who conducted the attacks 2 weeks ago on Erbil, and they said, we got the rockets from Iran. And I want to finish my question, and the Iranian militias told us to do this attack. This is the first time basically what the Iraqi authorities say concrete evidence comes out of Iran's involvement. Why not naming Iran?
Look, there are a lot of parties that need to hear this message of de-escalation. It includes various armed groups operating in Iraq outside of the control of the state. And obviously, powers both regionally and internationally all need to work towards the de-escalation. Sorry, Celia and then Toby.
Stefan, could we have an update on the status of the investigation in
Sure. The UN's teams work is ongoing. Our colleagues in DSS are doing a review of the security, and obviously we are at the disposal and are working closely with both the Congolese and the Italian authorities in their criminal investigations. I will share with you the name, the contact for my colleague Greg Barrow at WFP, who is speaking for the UN on the investigation. Tobias.
Thank you. That is my full name. My question is, now that there's a UN team on the ground in Libya, is that an indication that foreign fighters have left or are leaving? Is that a positive indication of that? And I have a second question on Tigray.
No, I think there are... Let me just say, we were not waiting for all foreign fighters to leave Libya to send the advance team. So this is the arrival of this advance team overnight is an operational issue. We're trying to operationalize the request of the Security Council. They will be there to assess the situation and how we can best support what is a Libyan institution, which is the ceasefire monitoring commission. Your other question.
And just an update on access for humanitarian efforts in Tigray.
Nothing major, no positive major developments to report. Abdelhamid. Abdelhamid?
Thank you, Stefan. Yes, thank you, Stefan. I want to take you back to 2019 when the former Commissioner General of the UNRWA was accused of misbehavior, mismanagement, and nepotism, etc. I mean, there was a report that proved that he was innocent. And I quote Mr. Graham Boone, he said in a recent interview, he said, the Secretary General called me in November 2019 to let me know that the charges of corruption, fraud, mismanagement, and of romantic relations with a female member of the staff had all been dropped. So in this interview, there are two questions, and I want to ask him. I ask these two questions, not on behalf of him, but as a journalist. First, will there be an official apology issued from the UN to Mr. Granbull? Second, why the report has not been published in full? Thank you.
Look, I'm looking for my notes on this. What I can first of all tell you is that the report by OIOS will be shared the report by OIS, which is an internal procedure, has been shared, is being shared at the request of member states, and that's the usual procedure. But I will answer your question in writing a little bit in a moment. Evelyn.
Thank you, Steph. You mentioned earlier that the Secretary General had spoken to ASEAN and other countries on Myanmar. Has he also asked India and China to use their influence on that country?
He has spoken to a number of regional countries and asked them to do whatever whatever they can do to help correct the situation and support the Myanmar people's call for a return to democracy. Okay, I will leave it at that and leave you in Brendan's good hands.
Good afternoon. I'll start with Myanmar. The president said this morning that he was horrified by new reports of protesters being shot and killed by security forces in Myanmar. He noted that last week the General Assembly came together in a show of solidarity with the people of Myanmar as they struggle to assert their civil rights. He said the international community is still watching. This morning, the General Assembly plenary adopted by consensus a resolution introduced by the Russian Federation on the role of diamonds in fueling conflict. In remarks on this topic, the president said that conflict diamonds continue to be a matter of serious international concern. He added that these tiny pieces of carbon can have a devastating impact on peace, human rights, and security in diamond-producing countries. In that regard, he called on member states to continue working to curb the flow and impact of conflict diamonds. He added that the Kimberley process, a unique arrangement between governments, the diamond industry, and civil society, has helped the situation and shows what we can achieve when we work together. This morning, the plenary adopted by consensus two new resolutions on Argania and millets. By the first resolution introduced by Morocco, the Assembly proclaimed 10 May as the International Day of Argania. It will be observed annually. And among other things, the day will highlight the argan tree's role in achieving sustainable development. By the second resolution introduced by India, the Assembly declared 2023 as the International Year of Millets. The idea is to raise awareness of and direct policy attention to the nutritional and health benefits and other aspects of millet consumption. This morning, the plenary also adopted by consensus resolutions related to cooperation between the UN and the Council of Europe, and cooperation between the UN and the International Fund for Saving the Aral Sea. It also adopted a resolution on cooperation between the UN and the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons by a vote of 109 in favor to 3 against, with 11 abstentions. And finally, today is World Wildlife Day. This year's theme is Forests and Livelihoods, Sustaining People and Planet. The day was proclaimed by the General Assembly in 2013. In a video message, the president said, "Our world's forests are both beautiful and bountiful. They offer us rich biodiversity and cleaner air." And that is it for me. Are there any questions? Go ahead, Tobias.
Thank you.
Are we calling you that now?
Sure. Okay. I go by both. That's fine. I just want to follow up on something from yesterday that, and I know the nomenclature is important here, but in terms of prospective candidates that are now being circulated, is the number 3, or is the including the Secretary General as the only actual candidate now, or is the number 2?
Well, right now there is only one candidate in the sense that that one name has been jointly circulated by both presidents, the presidents of the General Assembly and Security Council, to all member states. That one name is Antonio Guterres of Portugal. As the president tweeted earlier this week, he did send 2 additional names, which basically are signed letters plus CVs, just to the president of the Security Council. Abdelhamid, go ahead, please.
Hello?
Abdelhamid, I can't hear you.
I'm on mute.
Yes.
I did.
Go ahead.
I can myself. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now, President?
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah. Yesterday there was a meeting with the GA in Syria, as you know. I went to the meeting coverage page to see the summary of that meeting, and I didn't find it. Is there a reason that it doesn't come within 24 hours, the meeting coverage, or what is the explanation?
Right.
Why there is no...
As far as I know, that meeting was an informal meeting of the General Assembly, which means that there would not normally be a summary prepared by meetings coverage. I can double check on that, but I'm pretty sure that's the reason, because normally when briefings are done, that's done in an informal setting in the General Assembly.
What do you mean informal? President of the GA called for this meeting, and he had three briefers from the senior
citizens. So basically, when there is a meeting, Abdelhamid, sorry. Usually, when there is a meeting which involves a briefing, like for example, when the special envoy on Myanmar recently briefed the General Assembly, that briefing mode is an informal one, and that's why it's considered an informal meeting, and that's why meetings coverage would not normally cover that in a press release form. Rick, go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. Sorry, I have a question about the Myanmar diplomatic representation at the UN. It's a little confused there. Stefan just said earlier that these diplomatic notes from the permanent representative and the deputy were circulated by the Credentials Committee to all member states. Now we're learning, from what I'm seeing on Facebook, that the deputy permanent representative was appointed by the junta in Myanmar to represent Myanmar. It's now resigned. So, like, are we operating with outdated information here? Can you help clarify anything?
Well, I note that Stefan just answered a question on this in his briefing, which just ended. So I wouldn't have anything to add to what he said. To reiterate that it's really up to member states to communicate to UN protocol about who represents them. So right now, I saw the same news that you saw about the deputy ambassador from Myanmar. But that's not a matter for the office of the president of the General Assembly. That's really a matter between a member state and UN protocol. And then, you know, the Credentials Committee, as I've informed you, I don't speak for them. They're a group of nine member states headed by Tanzania. So I think I would direct any questions about further action by the Credentials Committee directly to them. Evelyn, go ahead, please.
Thanks much, Steph. Quick question. Where does one find the report on conflict diamonds?
Sorry, say it again, Evelyn.
Yes, where does one find the report on conflict diamonds that the PGA spoke about?
So today what was done is a resolution was adopted in the General Assembly plenary, and then the president, he made remarks. So both of those are available online. So for the president's remarks, those are on the president's website, un.org/PGA. Just go to documents and then speeches. And then for the actual resolution, if you want to see that, that's in the journal. You can click on the link there.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Great. Thank you very much, everybody. Have a good afternoon.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.